just because the transmission really starts about a day before the sores first come out.
Excuse me, I'm not, how much time?
No, it's
not a timer. Okay. So in 2004, there was an article published in the Journal of Pediatrics, of which Rav Etendler was here, was a co-author, along with Dr. Benny Kinsuntat, who is currently a friend of mine. And they published a study on 8 babies who were affected by their moilim, almost certainly from mitzitza. In all cases, the moils tested seropositive for the herpes simplex virus. A few of the babies got quite sick, and they recommended that it was asur to do mitzitza bepeh because it confers a significant risk on the baby. Following that article, I believe the other case that happened, next case that happened was in 2005, a set of twins. There was a Toronto connection to that one also. I won't go into that. But I believe one of the twins actually was Nifter, unfortunately, and they were attributed, obviously, to one moil. There was a case in Toronto also, which I do know a little bit about. I was not the moil, but a baby did receive herpes simplex probably from his moil. A lot of the healthcare workers were tested, and only the moil tested seropositive. A colleague of mine raised a fairly big stink in the city, and he got the Vada Rabbanim together, and he wanted them to issue a statement that we had to have only mitzitza bekli. And so he arranged for a virologist from the Hospital of Sick Children in Toronto to come speak to the Vada Rabbanim. Most of the moils were invited. We were all there. We all listened to the lecture. We were pretty sure that the lecture talked about significant risks of transmission. The Vada Rabbanim proceeded to have a meeting behind closed doors, and they came out and said, "See, there's no problem." In an article published in the Journal of Halacha and Contemporary Society, published by the RJJ High School in the spring of 2006, the authors were David Shabtai and Raymond Sultan. Today, I'm sure both of them have smicha in front of their names. I haven't followed their career. I don't know if they're okay. So they published an article regarding medical risk-taking in halacha, a case study, and the case study was mitzitza bepeh. And in the article, basically they said, if your rav says that it's clear that the mitzitza is done for a medical purpose, which it seems to me, is the more obvious, and then there's no question that you have to do mitzitza bekli, you're not allowed to take any risk. On the other hand, if mitzitza bepeh is halacha lemoshe misinai, as some people say, then you have to evaluate the risk. And there's a certain, they call the risk threshold, which you have to accept, because you're going to accept the principle that was brought up in the lecture that we just heard about Shomer Petayim Hashem, that Hashem protects us when we're doing mitzvot, if we're fools, for whatever reason, and you do have to accept a certain risk threshold. And they did a calculation, which I couldn't follow, because I probably had to, it was a very complicated calculation, but basically that herpes simplex, even though it's fairly prevalent in the community, and even though it's easily transmissible, that if you actually do the risks, workup, and find the risk is actually fairly low of a moil transmitting it to his to the infant who is being circumcised, and of getting significant disease. And they felt that in general, it did not reach the risk threshold required to say that you should do mitzitza bekli. They did qualify that you have to evaluate each case on its own, and that some cases the risk might be different than normal, in that it's possible that in a particular case, maybe the baby is immune compromised, or the moil obviously has obvious sores. If there's anything which changes the risk, then the psak changes. Just a couple of things in conclusion. I want to point out that what the Shulchan Aruch says about jaundice, really, and deciding when you're allowed to postpone a bris. And it says, "Ein malin vlad sheyesh bo chashash bali." Not that you know he's sick. If you even think that he might be sick, or there might be a problem, the sakanat nefashot dochet hakol, Shef Sharlo Limola Harzman Ve Ef Sharlach Zir Nefshachat Misrael Olam. So that even if you have a thought that there might be a risk, you should postpone the bris. And we're talking the bris here, not just the mitzitza. We're actually talking the bris, which everybody agrees is halacha l'moshe misinai. It's in the Torah. We just read a little bit about it. You should postpone the bris. So my feeling again is strongly that that it is a risk, and we really should be doing mitzitza bikli. I also want to add, about 25 years ago, the same colleague who was involved before brought me to a conference in New York, of which Rabbi Tendler was one of the presenters. And I remember there were two things that changed. Actually, before that conference, I was doing mitzitza pepe, because that's the way I was trained. At that conference, Rabbi Tendler made a very strong statement. He said, I don't understand. Mitzitza Bekli is absolutely allowed. And all these moilim, the charedim, they get upset when you do mitzitza bekli, but they all use mugging clamps, which is absolutely forbidden. So I remember that statement that stuck in my mind. And my practice certainly changed. I put on gloves that day, and I started doing mitzitza bekli. Do I have time to spend a few minutes on the other?
Yeah, a few minutes, yeah.
Okay, just a very quick. It's a little bit shorter. They asked me to speak a little bit about the anti-circumcision movements because at the time that they were organizing the conference, there was this possible item on the agenda in the San Francisco to ban circumcision until the age of 18. So really, movements against circumcision, very quick, I've divided them into two. One are Jews who stopped doing Mila, and the two are general movements against circumcision, which I think, for the most part, have anti-Semitic bases. So just very quickly, there was a recent article just this summer in the National Post. It was a good article by someone who was documenting new Jewish movements to ban circumcision, to do some other ceremony. And it was a decent article, except all I would have to say, it's not new. This has been around for probably thousands of years, ever since Mila was. There's always been Jews in the forefront of saying we shouldn't do Mila. The only thing I have to say, it waxes and wanes. It's always a small group. I think we have to speak against it. But in one of my other divrei Torah, I occasionally give it a bris. I point out that the two most universally practiced mitzvot are the two that give you a punishment of karet for mitzvah say, for not doing mitzvah say, and they're Brit Milah and Korban Pesach. And those two happen to be the most universally practiced mitzvot, no matter what. Jews who do nothing else, they do that. But there will always be Jews who don't. So that's a problem we have to deal with. The second, these are some things that happen in the general population, and they wax and wane too. There was a period where a week wouldn't go by where I wouldn't get a hate email about mutilating babies and what am I doing, etc. And one time I even had a link to a site, and on the site it had the usual invective and against mutilation of babies, etc. And sometimes equating it to female circumcision. Of course, that's one of the other things that they do. It's always popular to marry the one topic to something that's obviously wrong. But there was a further statement on this site that said people who practice this, who are involved, basically circumcised in Moilim, do not deserve to walk on the face of the earth. That's how bad it gets. And there was another small little link to another site which had names and addresses of people who do this. I must say I was honored to be on that list. But the site was quickly taken down. It's always been around. It's always going to be around. We have to fight against it. I think that there's, as I said, often an anti-Semitic basis to it. Probably many of the people who join on the fight probably don't realize that, but that's really the truth. And we're happy it got eliminated in San Francisco, and we always have to be vigilant. Thank you.
I'm going to try to speak quickly rather than briefly. Kivante, among the things when you mentioned Rabbi Tendler, having mentioned the Gamakor plan and the Magen plan, I point the Israel on the Magen because I think that's true. My rather limited experience, I don't rub elbows commonly with Hungarian Chassidim. The guys who are most vociferous, most vocal, Mitzitza is we ekis, do it, midori doros, tamasora, are the guys who, when they can, get away with the Magen clan. I have to tell you that the Magen clan doesn't seem to have any supporters. Not only does it have any supporters, but one of the loudmouth Mohalim, who chomped away at us who use glass for Mitzitza, settled a lawsuit with a hospital in New Jersey for, I think, $1.4 million, because he used the mugging clamp unsuccessfully, and he made the child probably a kushufka. I'm going to give you a couple of give outs. Would you do this for me? There's three here. Don't find any of this, guys. As an introduction, I want to recognize President Joe, who's not my guest, I'm his, but I can brag that our friendship goes back most of my adult life, a friendship that I cherish. We might not see each other for a long time, but when we do, it's old friends. I think we'll be friends in this chapter. We both kind of seen out, and then we'll become new friends again. but Ashrecha to YU, that they have President Joe. A couple of months ago, I took a terrible stress test, yielded excellent results. At the end of the day, it was horrible. Stress is really beats you up and takes you to what you got. It's nothing compared to sitting here and talking about medical halacha in front of Rabbi Tendler. Certainly, though, there isn't a mile in the world you can say that but for Rabbi Tendler, you have the chizuk and the guidance, even those who would rather deny it, from anyone, as we have from Rabbi Tendler. Hold on to these, we'll refer to them as we go. If you would, you might give me one of each also. There are four things mentioned in the archives of Halacha about Mitzitza. And I'm sorry, I don't have a PowerPoint presentation. I'm proud of you if you do. It's just an age factor. My youngest daughter always prepared these for me when I lectured. She brought her married with a couple of kids. So I've lost my computer, but it scares me. It's just the age gap. We're over that age of technology. There are four things mentioned any place in Allah, the Ramah, the Shukra, the Lezer, the Mila. The insults befit, you should suck with your mouth. The Hotzi is a Dame Varu. Chokim is the Rambam's language. You have to suck vigorously. Take blood from this to the Varu. The Hotzi's of Latin Sakhana to eliminate danger to the child. And Milo Glorimaitz, my beer lay, and Milo doesn't limit Zita, he gets thrown out, he's fired. So I'm going to tell you that on our team of Ashkenaz, team of Lita, sit such illustrious people as Yushushal Frau Hirsch, who commissioned Warden Rav Kahana from the town of Fulda, no relation to us, we don't come from Fulda, and who developed this glass cylinder, which I and many more in the world use. Chofetz Chaim and Yehuda Shabbos, the Shabbos, writes clearly that he doesn't consider squeezing with a sponge from the teeth before Shabbos, meaning he considers it Mutter. Some Sofer is a classic tshuva which you're getting now in your hands. Fortunately, I have to tell you, the original manuscript of that tshuva is in the British Museum, but no one from Williamsburg or Meshach can get their hands on it. So when they tell you that in the margins it's written over Shah, no, that's just a lie. A blatant lie. It's written as Zohar Shah, and if you read the text, it's not Zohar Shah, and anyone who says it's Zohar Shah discounts the whole Chassam Sofer Zerah. Because if you are a Jew like this, sent from one part of Europe to another, and qualifies it distinctively, but doesn't qualify the time and place, then there's something invalid about everything else. So it's quite a disservice when they attack him on that level. Of course, by the way, please don't be angry, I'm going to tell you that the story with Mitzitza and Gris is a very absolute one. Chaim's neighbor died of a post-meal infection, and he inhibited Mitzitza down. It was in Rabbi Schoenfeld's shul, Rabbi Schoenfeld, Rabbi Favorite Schoenfeld's grandson, and a very important male, possibly the dean of Mohammed Yochanan Yekom, the Budapest to die for it, did Mitzitza straight without a glass, and Rabbi Yoshua was signing, he said, if I knew you were going to do that, I wouldn't have sat He was not calm. He didn't say that to Chaim and I'm different. He was very clear. If I knew you were going to do that, I would not have said that. I can tell you the name of the place. I wish I would call Shem to what way you could ask him. I personally, I'm telling you this all as a sat with the Rishon Zalman Orbach for 45 minutes. I don't know how long it was. I had a microphone that was a talkie. I recorded that conversation. It's without gaps, it's clear, there's no static. It's an excellent tape. When we discussed it, it's with or without the glass. And he had a very beautiful smile, all of you know that. And Rishon Zalman said to me, can you picture a surgeon should do surgery and then put his mouth on the wound? He said, there's no such thing. And he went on to the chilo, we should use the glass. And everything was great. We went for 45 minutes through item by item in halacha, till I said, you know, right now, we're really getting blasted. The mohalim who use the glass are getting blasted. Maybe the Rosh Hashim could give us a letter, give us some chizuk. That big smile disappeared. And he said, he was clear that he didn't have the shoulders, the girders rather than bones of Reb Moshe, that would allow him to take the onslaught that would come. But it's on tape, he's very clear. I want to tell you, the one defender in the modern world of Mitzitza with no interfering glass is Rabbi Halperin. And I had this conversation with him at great length. He had the Schlesinger Institute, and I told him I thought he was a fraud. He has not yet reconciled the wider mantra, and I'll tell you what I mean by that. He's a physician, and he's a yeshiva man who came through B'nai Brak. Guess where? Ponovich. And they don't reconcile. Boys from Ponovich don't go to medical school. And he has spent the rest of his life trying to show the Haredim, I'm a Ponovicher, and the physicians, I'm a doctor. And that doesn't usually work. Either you can integrate, or you got to know that you're going to be running into constant collisions. And he came up with a tremendous notion, and I said to him, what you're telling me is just rubbish. It's rubbish halachically, and it's rubbish medically, and he published it. He suggests that when, you know, I don't know how many of you are familiar with the clotting process, one of the mechanisms of clotting is that when you cut a vessel, it shrinks back. And that allows the process, thrombin, to more efficiently clot up that vessel. So when we cut off the aorta, we create that kind of shrinking mechanism that goes back to collateral capillaries that might stop circulation to the glands, to the head of the penis. And it creates a concept of aseptic necrosis where the glands, the atara, just falls off and dies. There are two cases of what in Israel. One of them is an infectious process. One seems to have been a strangulating bandage, circular bandage that the mother put on. I asked them, show me in the literature that such cases exist. They don't exist. So you can talk to me about Santa Claus, or you can talk to me about aseptic necrosis of an atara. They don't exist. They just don't. And that was his strong thesis, and that was, if you will, the boon and the strength that Mirsharim got right after Rabbi Tendler's article came out. I have to tell you, I had a conversation with a very important Bible Yerushalayim, part of the Eda Haredis of Tov HaSaron, who had posters all over, condemning that paper, and he writes, Ani Hosein Mata, Noel Muncha, and he goes on. What he didn't know is that I repent Tzitz and Amakim of his. This guy was the Mal Muncha, he was a butcher. He's worried about Mitzitz, he should be worried about cutting off the Orla according to Shulchan Aruch. And that didn't seem to bother him. Mitzitz has become the cause celebre, and one has to look why that is. Why did Mitzitz all of a sudden go through it? By the way, this is not round one. This happened during Shimshon for Elisha's days as well. It happened during some Sofer days as well. We seem to be incapable of trusting Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah to face off with science. And that's one of the reasons I'm so comfortable with this medical ethics lecture every year. Why is the only place that synthesizes it? I know that sounds corny. It's the only place where Kadosh Baruch Hu has no honest in Torah. It's the only place where Kadosh Baruch Hu's Torah integrates science. He created those sciences. That's how he built the world. That was his blueprint. And all of a sudden, other camps have serious what do you call difficulty? The Bava Rebbe's son-in-law, Rabbi Goldberger, lived with us in Queens. He has a very, very hard time when we built the Eruv. He wrote a letter to Rav Meisher, answering a letter Rav Meisher wrote him. Rav Meisher told us he never wrote to him. So there goes his qualifications, kosher. He wrote a sefer Briskusolis Vasayim, in which, of all people, he calls the Chassam Sofer the man who can teach without a clay, a patent lie. And then he goes to add insult to injury, and he quotes Shimshon Rafael Hirsch, the one who developed this glass. He was the first one in New York, in my career is 25 years old, to have been stopped by the medical establishment, Susie Shulman, Dr. Shulman and Barabat, stopped him from Mali, only because he was giving concerns. And the first show was his son would do a mitzitza, and no one would do a mitzitza, and he's really not Mali much. But he was the first guy to be caught with this typhus Mary syndrome. Before I go further, I want to interrupt you. I think the whole herpes business is malunderstood, and I want you to forgive me. The comment that Fum Mohalla will do mitzitza for not Fum people is just stupidity. Because anyone who treats the proximity of Williamsburg knows the highest degree of venereal disease transmission is in Williamsburg and not washing hands. They're not doing so well. So wherever you get syphilis, you also get AIDS. So I don't know what that means that I do mitzitza on the, if I had to do mitzitza without a glass, I'd be doing it on the chassidim with a glass. But at any rate, I want to tell you what herpes is. I'm afraid not enough people understand it. Herpes is that little cold sore. 90% of white males above age 40 had herpes. I, by the way, test negatively. I'm not defending me. But everybody has herpes. It's almost a universal epidemic. When we get herpes, when we're infected, the virus travels through the nerves exclusively, and it's stopped by the synapses, hopefully by some antibody response of yours, and it stays there low and wide. It's probably active 3 days after the person dies. It also is contagious during the period called shedding, 3 days prior to the outbreak of these lesions. So theoretically, if I had herpes, I'd be contagious for 3 days before I find out I'm getting another round. Now, the interesting, the fascinating thing of no knowledge is you can say anything you want. When we get a herpes case, the first thing the hospital and the Board of Health do is they test the mother for antibodies. And everyone assumes, because they're accusing her of a potential sort of source of transmission, she might be one of the infected kid. After Mila, she diapered him, and she gave him that herpes. That's not what they're asking. They're asking if this kid has any antibodies. If she didn't have herpes, this kid is completely exposed. And the difference between him and us is when he's exposed, it goes from his wrist to the spine. Nothing stops him. And that's the cerebrospinal fluid. And let me tell you the statistics. So no one should think this is an academic debate. You know, in the Chassidim. Well, I wear a necktie and they wear a goggle. That's a joke. But whether we do mitzitza like this or not, that's not a joke. 35% of kids, neonatal herpes. I'm going to die. Dead. And until you've held a dead baby in your hands, I don't give an idea what that looks like. There's nothing uglier on God's earth. As very clearly Dr. Justin presented, this is the only place in Shulchan Aruch we don't be actual opposite of Shachas Yisrael. This is the only place. There's no Batu B'Shisha, there's no Batu Barov. One kid. You can't do it if you put him at risk. And it ain't one kid anymore. 30% have brain swelling that causes them irreparable and irreversible brain damage. They're retarded. 35% go back to our communities healthy. If you think those are numbers that you want to play with and gamble with, you're completely crazy. Those are unconscionable numbers to play with, and our buddy have made sight of it. I need to tell you, Rabbi Dr. Jess and I have met only by phone a week ago, and this morning, I suspect his experience is the same as mine. He might get away a little more because he has MD plates on his head. My nisayon that makes Avram and his kishanei a piece of cake is coming to a bris, putting on sterile gloves, draping with a sterile drape. Of course, you need a sterile drape. You have an anus 4 centimeters from your womb. That kid is about moving if a filthy, contaminated womb. How do you not use a drain? But a drain and sterile gloves. How many times have I heard they haven't done this for thousands of years? Who cares? Who cares? What does that mean? You use fluorescent lights for thousands of years. But that's the attack that you can't live with. It's an unsustainable position to take a bunch of guys like this who are coming down on you. Why sell that name? And again, I tell you, I don't believe any of you would tolerate any procedure by any physician without sterile gloves. Why is bismuth done without sterile gloves? What we, and by the way, I am Korea and Sipranayim. I need to tell you, it's a piece of paper gloves on. You know, when you have to open a jar, you can't. Put a rubber band on. When you have rubber on your nails, when you grab the RRP, it never slips. It's there. You have it clamped, if you will, between your fingers, and officially, in a split second, you're done. I have to didactically get hold of it, and after that, I'm done. I never drop it. I never have a job bleeding all over because of 20 attempts to grab it. You think that a neurosurgeon can dissect brain tissue? You think that an eye surgeon can take a lens out of an eye? And we can't do bismillah with gloves. The whole concept is a concept of archaism, of insanity. The next round we had was this guy Fisher, who I pretend I got into some difficulty with, because you mentioned his name. I'm glad I didn't. He's accused of transmitting herpes to multiple children. Now, I have to tell you, the only absolute proof Tiger Booth would hold in a court of law is you check the DNA of the herpes simplex virus in the baby and in the vial, and if they're the same DNA, you know one got it from the other. It's very difficult when he declares his constitutional rights and refuses to give those samples. And samples have to be taken repetitively because you got to get him while he's shedding. So you got to swab his mouth probably every day of the month for a month or two. Mm-hmm. I want to tell you the bad side. And here, Dr. Jessen, you and I will agree, but I'm going to disagree with what you said. And I think you'll join me. I'm not threatened by all these guys' organizations that are down on Bismillah. You know, Yosef Atzadik, I bring this up because I think this is how I feel about this whole Mila. So generally, I like to take responsibility. I have to tell you my business. If things aren't good, there's no need to blame it on. It's my fault. And it's my job to find out what's wrong and correct it, because that's how I make money. In business, it's a real clear objective. But I must tell you, in the world of Allah, that Allah be acceptable, that it be palatable, that should be nice. That it shouldn't be a chil shem shamayim, that it shouldn't be something that people say, ugh, I want a part of it, is our responsibility. So what am I telling you? Yosef Atzadik, when he had to feed the whole Egyptian population, strange men to Shrapa. First year, he took all the metalcom. They paid out everything they had to buy tefillah from this Yosef Atzadik. He was starved to death. So he got for the throne, for power, everything the Egyptians owned. The second year, I had nothing left. So he took their karkos, all the real estate. My business. Classy guy. The third year, he was mishabi there. He was sold into servitude. All that you understand. The fourth year, he made them mount themselves. How come? I think Yosef Atzadik realized they were going to have real trouble existing in Egypt. Assimilation. He's going to be a major threat to our Geula. Hence, he came to the conclusion that if the Goyim out, we'll probably do it as well. And he posed Mila on the Goyim, maybe so when we assimilate, would at least hang on to Mila. You recall we got out because of Dan Mila and Dan Kom Bezach.
That's a simple explanation. He bought them, you say, the Zabodim, the edit of a Jew, Eved Avraham, is high
Mila. Mila.
That's why. Once they became Abodim, he had to mount them.
My point, though, is not a halachic one. In the United States of America, and I, again, am one of the German refugees, for being a Jew is a very different story. What my father describes to me as nisyonos are a joke compared to the way I live. He ate anything and everything. He was a man who was never dissatisfied, except for tuna fish and turnips. Because when Hitler started coming to power, Rav Breyer Zatzal got up and said, Noi kosher is al treif. New kosher is old treif. So he ate tuna and turnips for 3 years. We have no nisyonos. We don't have a problem with jobs. We don't have a problem with Shabbos. We don't have a problem with kosher. I remember my mother making mayonnaise. Where's the problem getting kosher mayonnaise? And you can snub all the OU brands and get Mahadran brands, whatever you like. We talk about running out of kosher wine. The reason for Hamar Medina, today you can wash your car with kosher wine. There's no shortages. Meat, you eat what's available on the leftover of the shechita. You guys don't even know what that means. You don't know what shechita means. You go to a butcher shop, it's stock. So nisyonos don't exist for us. Assimilation does. It's because we really haven't mastered how to ride this pony called the United States of America. And again, while you might be the one place that seems to know what they're doing there. What am I saying to you? When a male comes in without a lab coat and he has dirty, bloody hands, my wife is always upset when there's blood under his fingernails, and he uses instruments that he wipes with a swab of alcohol, and you see in his Waterman pen box where he keeps his knife, a couple of blood stains. Don't be surprised if people create alternatives to bris milah. When you have this debate about mitzitza in public, and you have guys screaming the way they did, don't fool yourself. There are people who aren't as committed as all of us. We're less committed to Yiddishkeit. And all of a sudden they say, I'm not doing this to my kid. I'm willing to accept responsibility. Please don't be angry at me. Let us mohalim have to get with it. There's a halachic standard of mahadrin in mitzvos. And that means, and by the way, everyone I've taught, I've always asked them to buy an expensive bottle of perfume, go to the local hospital or supervisor, she's usually a very nasty nurse, and ask her how sterile technique evolved. What is it, and how do we achieve it today? No sterile technique? You're a mile, you don't know that? I mean, everything else, either mitzvah counts. And I'm left with a bad feeling that this debate with Rabbi Fisher and the Board of Health will be a tsunami of damage to Klal Yisrael. No idea what damage I'm talking about. Rabbi, for my community, and for that I ask you to pick up a gracious tshuva on the left side in the middle. He writes in a ratio that if you don't do all three of those, chituf, priya, and mitzitza, it's like having dal minim, we only have three minim. Nothing happened, no mitzvah. So the Moshe writes back, and you all have to know where Moshe is. Choshev ani shuak plita sakumus. I think your ink got spit out of your pen. You couldn't have meant to write that. It's a nice way of a gentle God of Israel saying, jerk, did you really say that? A rabbi in my community, if I know this information, he knows it better. Not by a year, by a life year. Sat in front of Dr. Fried in the New York City Board of Health and told him that all Jews believe in tzitzis and misinai. He didn't quote this information. And that if you don't do mitzitza, there's no bismillah. And I want to tell you what the outcome was. And all of you are going to be offended by this. I'm really talking out of place. You should know. It was an old German expression, Schenzen mir aus. We look great. It's a sarcastic remark. I mean, how terrible. When Frieden got this, all of Williamsburg descended on him and really threatened and plowed, you know, their way of telling him about a unilateral political vote. The mayor, this little Jewish mayor, Melba, said ghettoize this issue. You know what that means? Kant created that concept in politics. When the police would come into a ghetto, a woman was raped, a man was killed, apartment was burglarized, bottles would come off the roof from the police cars. Tremendous bad publicity. But if it came 2.5 hours later, after all the dust settled, and the guy who was shot bled out, and the woman who was raped stopped crying, there would have been no political fallout. Press was in there and everything was quiet. And who are they raping was Kach's argument? Their own. Ghettoize this means who are the Mohalim putting at risk? Only our own. So let them have it. That's what they want. Go with it. If you think Friedan got quiet for any reason that's covered at Torah, you're out of your mind. He got quiet because he decided, Lo Shava Nezek, I don't need this fight. Let the Jews battle it out and then bury their kids. The other one who wrote on this, I don't even know why I mentioned it, he's just mentioned all the literature, Rami Cohen, colleague of ours. He wrote a book, Bris Avraham HaKohen, today with printing, so available, anyone can print. And he writes very didactically that the tzitzis are derisive, he takes Maharam Shik's position. I have to tell you also, he writes 3/3. But 1/3 of that book is writing why hyperspadias repair. Time doesn't allow me to explain it. Kind of null and mull, it's a syndrome that's unfortunate. When you have it, it needs repair. And he writes that the only reason doctors want to repair this is to line their pockets with your money. And under no conditions should you tolerate it. You make a kushufcha bidei odom, shaloyovo bikal Hashem, you can't give anything. The whole shakh material, it's all junk. I just spoke to a shavais in Yerushalayim now. We were talking about someone who needed a urethral repair. The question was, is kushufcha? He said, kushufcha that's bidei odom is something that someone injured. He said, if there's a medical condition that mandates repair, that's to be considered kushufcha bidei shamayim. But anyway, leave that aside. He also was one of those. I have to tell you, my wife can give you testimony better than I can. Most mealers, they call me to speak to my wife. The questions that we get now, how do you do mitzitza, are overwhelming. I never got them before. That means it's on everyone's mind. And now measure that spectrum of commitment. I'm not ready to say that I'm interested in mailing only the kids of Shomrei Shabbos. I feel a responsibility to not from people also. Bris Avraham is a universal expression. The people who are comfortable saying to hell with them, they're not ours. They're not Anshei Shlomeinu. I'm not sure if we check their yichus, it would line up just like mine. I have very hostile feelings to that whole notion. And let me tell you how bad it is. If you go on the web, and I told you I'm an amateur, you'll find better than half a dozen. I found 8 sites for alternate rituals of Bris Milah for welcoming a boy. I don't remember that 20 years ago. That's what came out of this kind of kanos being screened. I want to tell you something else. So you should all be scared. We have a big Baal Tshuva movement today, Baruch Hashem. What else the mother decides, I'm going to get involved with one of these guys. And Mal's a kid in the hospital that's Tok Shmona. That kid's kind of an aura. He becomes a Baal Tshuva, he might marry your daughter or my granddaughter. Those are threats of seepage into our well water that we might not be able to afford. And one should be very careful as we fling mud. I want to tell you also that I'm uncomfortable with, and the Oracle's going to write that, about Shomim Psoim Hashem. When you're forewarned, and this kind of debate rages in the community, you're not naive, you're not ignorant, you're a Russian. That's someone who's warned. Shomim Psoim Hashem, someone unaware of dangers around him, and he walks into it, naively. We know there's a real threat with mitzitza. By the way, I don't know if any of you are old enough to have had gum disease. Gum disease ain't a piece of cake. It causes inflammation of the coronary arteries and who knows what else. It's considered very threatening. Why do you think a mother might have gum disease? It's a threat to a baby. Why do you think the normal flora in your throat that includes some staph and some strep isn't a threat to a baby? Not all babies, a weakened baby. Is that okay? You know, there's a weakened response. He's a preemie. He didn't get all those good antibodies from his mom the last 5 weeks of gestation. So that kid's all right. Throw him to tell us she caught. What I'm saying to you is that we've had very, very clear and didactic responses over the years. And before I quit, this continues in a very aggressive way. This is a tshuva that was printed 45 years ago. It's one of the only tshuvas you hold in your life that's signed by the Rabbanut HaRashit and the Eid HaCharedi. It's one of my sides. I don't know if there's another such piece of paper in the whole world where they collaborate. If Yaakov HaGozer's Sefer was reprinted in 1965, I bought it then, and everyone came with this folder stuffed in. And he warned you about the money grant. I don't know one guy who's taking a strong position in Mitzitza without hourglass, that doesn't use this clamp on the occasion of having an iPhone kid. When someone invites me, when someone invites Dr. Jess, they're inviting us to Malka Halach. They look at us as Yirei Shamayim. They're not looking at us to evaluate their Yirei Shamayim and then decide what kind of trait for real is that. Some sofer, and this is a classic. This is the subject of some debate. I can't tell you. Maramshik is the one who's calling on his Rebbe, and he says that he wrote this as a Rasha. If you read the text carefully, which time doesn't leave me the slack, you'll see it's absolutely not a Rasha. The original one is Ksav Yad, is alive and well in London, without, as many today say, a marginal comment saying a Rasha. Some stuff is very didactic, and what is the mandate? I want to, in conclusion, offer you, those of you who have that interest, I brought a bunch of these classes with me. Sometimes the magnitude of riches, the magnitude of stupidity, the magnitude of ill will can't be measured. Each of you will be able to make that measurement. I don't know what they want. If you put your finger in your mouth and suck real hard, that's how mitzitza will be done without a plate. And if you take this is the glass that was developed for Shimshon Frohersh, put it on your hand like one would put it on the abdomen of a baby, and then suck. You're going to find that the four things I began with, the insults to the fifth, it's 1,000,000% all such. And we all know if you couldn't come here and tell anyone who tries it to the contrary. The hotzi is a damivarim rechokim. If you take a mercury column, you'll feel it in your hands. It's a much stronger suction with this glass than without it. The hotzi is a vlad misakana. I hope none of you have doubts that there is a sakana with the mouth that's eliminated with this glass. And everybody has that problem. I'm going to conclude with a very tough reality. My wife has been my partner in Mila, except for the years she raised my children as toddlers. She's joined me in every Mila. If parents asked me to use no glass, I did. Telling honest. I don't know why. I really don't. Was it my Itzahara to have more of a volume of Milas? Was it that I shouldn't feel they pass over me? It certainly wasn't my secure side. I don't know why I did. I rinsed carefully with mouthwash. I put on a great new stall about the big mouth on one. Doesn't cut it. And I'll tell you what was the arrest. I had a very full guy in my neighborhood who I came the next night to change his bandage with his wife had asked me, please, you can't use the glass. You have to do mitzitza direct. And he had his arm around his wife when I came. I have no idea what they think that mitzitza trumps taras and mishpacha so absolutely. And that's when I realized he's not a Jew. I'm being misaking the child shmolusha mitzvah. I'm running the risk of infecting a child. And by the way, I have to tell you arrogantly, I have one child who infected post-mila. And it took 2 days for cultures to come back. The kid ended up that he had blocked urine, and that's why he spiked the fever. It had nothing to do with my Mila. The Venus came back with negative culture. But for 48 hours, I made my wife cancel my week, and I said, I'll never mal again. The thought that I brought a child with respiratory distress, couldn't breathe, admitted to an intensive care unit, Long Island Jewish, because of me, I don't need to face any more. That's just not what I'm looking for. And I realized that this was just a mistake. And really the last remark about this glass cylinder, I'm out in 45 years. I've been around the block, I think, as much as most. Done 30,100 something. I had a bris the Thursday before Sunday bris, the mother calls me up. Mother calls me up, how do you do it? I told the glass. That was the end of the conversation. Bris was in Queens. There's a shul set up with a big beam across the whole front. The Ezra's Nashim is on the two sides. I finish the meal, I make the Mishabeirach. All of a sudden, this woman comes trotting out of the Ezra's Nashim, in front of all these people, comes up the stairs to the bima, and says, show me the glass. This glass, when I'm done, is blooded. I never met a mother who wants to see a kid's blood. Strange. I showed her to her, and she left. We went in, I shared a baby with Betadine. I'm always doubtful, does Betadine get absorbed? Does it whack a baby's thyroid? Newborn mothers aren't to be trusted so much, so my wife washes that off for me. So I go in to see this baby, and I said to the mother, you gotta come clean to me. What is that about? I wanna tell you something. If I ever were to publish my experiences, this was one of the worst. She says to me, she's a pediatrician. And she just had a kid with herpes in her practice. And as they sent the kid by cab to the hospital, you have to get on antivirals real quick. As they put the kid in the cab to go to the hospital, a senior guy leaned down and said, whatever you do, don't tell him the name of the mother. The mother is the guy who has to give us the sample that we can check the DNA against that baby's virus, remember? And this senior guy was so sure that Kodesh Baruch Hu can't stand that scrutiny. That Bezdin mustn't have the fact, because halacha can't survive an interface with modernity and science. I'm left with a very, and you hear it in my tone, annoyed response to a community, Brooklyn-based, without a doubt, that feels that they have a right to put Bismillah at risk and Jewish children at risk. And I say this emphatically, Shlo L'Shem Mitzvah. Those of you who would like to try one of these, I have a bunch, you're welcome to try it. I think you'll see that this is a Shakespearean much ado about nothing. There is no argument to be had here. It's Carlos and it's Lois. Thank you, everybody.
Thank you, Rabbi Shlomi Nachman. Lunch is now being served on the first floor of this building in Weisberg Commons.